It's time for a pause in your day. Welcome to a podcast where we press the pause button on our busy lives for a few moments, and we focus on God's Word with Sharon and Nicole. We pray this is a time of refreshing for you. The Sweet Selah Moments podcast is a cooperative production of Word Radio and Sweet Selah Ministries.
Welcome to Sweet Selah Moments. We're celebrating 10 seasons of sharing God's Word with you, and this season is our Selah season. This is episode 144, Forgiveness. It's not always easy to forgive, and we will talk about that in upcoming episodes. This episode on forgiveness is about asking for forgiveness. That's not always easy either. It's hard to admit we are wrong. It's very humbling to have to ask for forgiveness, but it absolutely sets us free. We can't wait to dive into Psalm 32 today and learn more about asking for forgiveness. But first, because this is our Selah season, we're going to talk about our Selah word for the day, the tip we have to help us all practice pausing and simply being with the God who loves us. So far, we've talked about silence, going slow, and times of solitude. Sharon, what's our word for today?
Well, in keeping with the S theme. We actually have two words, but the first one begins with an S. Selah Day.
Oh, I like that one.
one of the sweetest life lessons I learned long ago in Moms in Prayer through a friend, Marla Gritter, was the concept of spending a day or part of a day alone with God. Mm-hmm. In fact, Marla called it a dog day, D-A-W-G.
That's cute.
Day alone with God. But we focus on Selah here in this ministry, so I renamed it Selah Days. But really, I almost think we should change the name again to Selah Hours, Selah Minutes, because when you say, would you like to spend a Selah day with God, people imagine 24 hours.
Right.
Or 12 hours. And I don't know about you, but my Selah days are more like 4 to 5 hours. What about you? What do you do on a Selah day, and how long are yours?
Yeah, mine usually only go for 2 to 4 hours, honestly.
See?
In this season of life, between kids and puppies, it's hard. So what I typically do is I'll drop my kids off at school in the morning, and then I kind of close out all of my communication. So text my husband, let him know I'm going to be, you know, off my phone for a bit, check in with friends that where I was messaging and say, hey, I'm off for a little bit. Close out email, make sure that there's no last minute school things. And then I put on worship music. That's huge for me because it sets the tone. Whether I'm staying home, in my home, I put it on, or in my car when I'm driving to that Selah location.
Yeah.
But music is huge. It's worship music. And I start singing to him and just kind of letting my mind focus and my heart settle. Because after the morning rush, I'm a little frazzled and I'm not thinking peaceful, calm thoughts. So it helps me kind of get into that groove. Uh-huh. And then lately I've been keeping it very simple, just lots of prayer and then journaling. So I'll write my prayers or I'll just respond to what he's been talking to me about. Mm-hmm. And then I've been doing a Bible study on James lately, which has been really fun.
Nice.
So that's what I've been. And sometimes I'll read a chapter of like an edifying Christian book, you know, something like that, and then nap.
I feel like napping is a very key element in a Selah extended time.
There's something about a Selah nap. It just feels more special than a normal nap. And I never would have napped before, but in this season, I've needed it. And it's such a gift. So I thank God for my Selah naps.
I know it. I always think of Elijah, who's like, I am so tired with the world. I am going to sit under a broom tree and ask God to just make me die. And God says, actually, what you need is a nap.
Just try sleeping first. And
you need a nap. Yeah, I think that is awesome. I really do. And so, you know, we need to think of a new way to phrase it. It's basically an extended time where the focus is on the relationship we have with God.
Right.
Right. And it can be an hour, but really, for me anyways, the first hour sometimes is necessary just to quiet my heart.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, because of the frenetic pace that we sometimes keep. So in my season of life, I like 4 to 5 hours and I'm allowed to do it. And you know, as a matter of fact, the last one I did, I realized I'd been on my phone too much when I shut off the phone, put it in the bedroom, shut the door. So the phone was nowhere near me. And, you know, I always shut off my computer and shut that door too.
Right.
Nicole, I felt a palpable sense of release. to not be tied to the phone.
Yeah.
I thought, okay, well, this is a sign. I need to do this more than just on Sela days.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Just to unhook from the world.
Absolutely.
I put it on do not disturb. I love hitting that button. There's such freedom in like, oh, I'm not getting notifications for a few minutes and then just breathing.
Yeah. Well, I never get notifications. I'm like, absolutely not. I don't want anybody to tell me anything. But I don't have small children.
Right.
Where their school teacher might call, you need notifications. And I'm like, nope, I'm going to look when I'm going to look.
Right.
But because I run our Facebook page, yes, I have to look a lot. So yeah. Anyways, all that to say, yeah. And so my last Sela day was home as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I lit a fire and took a short walk because it was freezing.
It's been
outside.
So cold.
And then I read, you know, the word, and I have a Bible where there's all kinds of rabbit trails I can take that tells me the Strong's Concordance meaning for the words,
yeah,
which adds such depth and richness. And when I've got an extended time, I can rabbit trail to my heart's content.
Go to this verse and then this word and then this word.
That's exactly right. And read an ancient book. Oh my goodness,
oh,
Nicole. My mom was given this book by her mentor on her wedding day in 1955.
Wow.
And it's older than that. And it's lovely.
Oh,
and
how
fun. I read a chapter a month.
Yeah.
And I think of my mummy.
Oh,
it's so
that's
fun.
Sweet.
So, and then prayer.
Yeah. Oh,
and,
yeah.
And the absolute necessity of the nap.
Oh, of course.
Yes.
It's
so,
a great way to end it.
Anyways, that's what I do.
I do enjoy our Sela days. So, well, we hope we've inspired you to try a Sela day. Clearly, Sharon and I love them.
We do.
And we think you will too. So if you go to our website and click on the menu, you'll find a tab that will tell you all about Sela days and even give you some suggested studies to pursue when you have your special day. So check it out. Okay, Sharon, time to get to our topic of the day, forgiveness.
Yes, I love this, and especially asking for it, because a lot of times we have talked, even on this podcast, about you know, the need to forgive others.
Yeah.
It's also hard to ask for forgiveness.
It
so
is.
Here we go. Our psalm with the word Sela in it is written by David, and it's Psalm 32 today. David has been forgiven a great sin and is rejoicing. His rejoicing is evident in this song of praise we're about to read. When we don't confess sin, it lays heavy on our hearts. Mm. When we ask for and receive forgiveness, that heaviness disappears and the joy is great. So we've got four sections in the psalm, each one divided by our beautiful word, Sela. We'll be reading in the New Living Translation, but using Sela instead of interlude, the word the NLT chooses. So, Nicole, you've got the first section.
All right. So I'm reading Psalm 32, a psalm of David. Oh, what joy for those whose disobedience is forgiven, whose sin is put out of sight. Yes, what joy for those whose whose record the Lord has cleared of guilt, whose lives are lived in complete honesty. When I refused to confess my sin, my body wasted away, and I groaned all day long. Day and night, your hand of discipline was heavy on me. My strength evaporated like water in the summer heat. Sela. So this psalm makes me want to go and confess right now. Goodness, just the burden of feeling how our sins do lay so heavy on us, even if we're not always entirely conscious of them. You
yes.
know, and this reminded me of barnacles.
Barnacles?
Barnacles. And here's why. My daughters were researching a project about barnacles on ships, and they seem fairly harmless, and they kind of appear, and the ship owner is not aware of them while he's traveling.
Uh-huh.
But when barnacles build up, they significantly slow down the ship. They create this drag that affects their fuel efficiency, their time from getting to and from places. So it affects the ship slowly over time and causes a great disturbance in the ship. And I think of that like our sin. If we're not quick to confess or clean off those barnacles of sin, it slows us down and our hearts do become heavy and our bodies kind of waste away. And we don't even know why. Like, why am I feeling this way?
Because
sometimes we're not always aware of when we sin.
Yeah.
So it just goes to show how important it is to keep that list short with God, that daily confession. God, what have I done today that I don't even know about?
You know what? That's true. Sometimes he says, do you remember that conversation you had with your husband?
Right.
Oh, yeah, that. You know?
Oh, I forgot about that. Remember how you were gossiping about that person the other day? Yeah, you need to confess that.
Exactly.
That's why you feel so crummy. Yep. And then when we do come to him and confess and get those barnacles scraped off, there's less drag on our souls, you know?
So that is a wonderful example.
Barnacles. Watch out for barnacle-like sin.
Okay. That's awesome. That's awesome. Well, I have a teeny tiny section until the next Sila. It says this. Finally, I confessed all my sins to you and stopped trying to hide my guilt. I said to myself, I will confess my rebellion to the Lord. And you forgave me. All my guilt is gone. Sila. I think that last line is so beautiful. We hide because we too often think that God is like humans. When you confess to a human, they're not always generous right away with forgiveness.
Right.
I tend to, if someone confesses to me, want to rehearse what they did wrong before I forgive them.
Right.
You're right. What you did was just awful, you know?
I'm forgiving you quite a bit, just so you know.
Yes. And then to sort of nobly forgive after I've made sure they know.
Right.
You know?
Just how grievous it was.
This is not something I'm proud of. This is not how God forgives.
Yeah.
God runs toward the prodigal son, puts a robe on him, and kills the fatted calf. I mean, what is that? He is longing for us to say we're sorry so he can forgive us. So the exclamation point that's in my NLT Bible kind of says to me, David's like, and you forgave me. Like, this is so cool. Aww. All my guilt is gone. So we want to hide, and it's not good. And I've talked about this before in an earlier podcast, but the summer that I blithely backed out of my garage right into Ray's car in the driveway and caused massive damage to both cars, each of which had a separate $500, what do you call
deductible.
It?
Deductible.
Thank you.
Oh, that's awful. No.
Yes. Do you think I wanted to go back in the house and tell Ray what just happened?
Probably not.
No, I did not. But I knew that, you know, you really can't, first of all, hide the fact that both
cars are super damaged.
You
might have.
Right. But I told him right away. And then it's done, you know, and I'm not thinking of how to explain it to him. I just went in and said, Ray, I just backed my car into your car. There is massive damage and I'm calling the insurance company.
Would you like a cookie?
Cute. Yes, Ray said nothing. He was in shock. But that was good, you know.
Right, but you were quick to confess.
I was
and
quick
ask for
to confess.
Yeah.
Exactly. So there we go.
Oh, I love it. All right. And so my section says, therefore, let all the godly pray to you while there is still time, that they may not drown in the floodwaters of judgment. Mm. For you are my hiding place. You protect me from trouble. You surround me with songs of victory. Selah. So I feel like in this passage, there's some urgency here.
Yes.
There's some, we shouldn't put this off to confess. We don't know how much time we have, and we don't want to waste it feeling guilty or suffering judgment. So let's be quick to confess and get that freedom from him that, oh, you forgave me. My guilt is gone.
Exactly.
Much better way to live.
Much better. And you know, David is speaking from very personal experience when he took another man's wife.
Yeah.
And slept with her and got her pregnant and then arranged for the man to die. I mean,
he's
kind
got some
of
good experience here. He can speak from a place of understanding.
Yes. And he did not confess right away.
Right.
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 I mean,
he lived with it.
Nathan had to come and talk to him about it. And Nathan talked to him about it when Bathsheba was already quite a long ways away with her child. So,
so
he knows the drag.
Yeah.
He knows the shame and he knows the hiding. You know, so when he's like, confess quickly, he's saying, don't do what I did.
Right.
In a sense.
Well, and I love like right after that, he says, there's a promise of a safe haven from us. You are my hiding place. You protect me from trouble.
Yes.
So it's kind of like you said about the prodigal son's dad. He was ready to forgive him. He was willing and he was looking for it.
Yeah.
God is waiting and looking for that to forgive us.
Yeah.
And then he offers a hiding place. And then victory from sin. He surrounds us with songs of victory. It's almost like he reminds us the victory through
Isn't
him.
Beautiful.
So quick to restore. There is no lecture. There's no, well, you did it again, kid. Here we go.
Right.
And I was so overcome by the forgiveness And then the hiding in the hiding place, and then the songs of victory.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful way to end forgiveness.
It is. And you know, you just hugged yourself when you said hiding. And I'm thinking the prodigal son was enveloped in his father's hug.
Oh.
So when we come to God and say, I am so sorry, we're nestled.
We are.
We're brought close. Man.
That's so beautiful.
Oh, I'm glad we stopped and sealed that one. All right. Here's the last little bit. The Lord says, I will guide you along the best pathway for your life. I will advise you and watch over you. Do not be like a senseless horse or mule that needs a bit and bridle to keep it under control. Many sorrows come to the wicked, but unfailing love surrounds those who trust the Lord. So rejoice in the Lord and be glad, all you who obey him. Shout for joy, all you whose hearts are pure. Mm. You know what I was thinking of with the senseless horse and mule thing? I was thinking, because I think we've had these bad fires recently in California. I was thinking of a horse in a stable and the fire is coming. And the horse is afraid because of all the smoke and stuff.
Right.
And they're not leaving the stable willingly. They've got to be bridled and hauled out, right? And the reason they're being bridled and hauled out is because it's for their good. But they don't know that.
Right.
You know, and they're kicking the whole time. And God's like, don't kick against me like this.
Mm.
I know the best pathway for your life. Mm-hmm. Follow it. You can do it willingly, or you can kick and tug and get really waylaid on your way to being good. And we kick when we don't confess.
Yeah.
We hide from him, and then we don't have the blessing of being with him. We don't have his guidance, and we make a small mess, big mess. We just do. Especially
so
if we lie.
Yeah.
Or even if we don't lie, we don't tell the whole truth.
Right.
Because the whole truth would make us look bad. Sometimes we've been bad and we need to look bad because we were bad, and we need to just say it.
So we can deal with the consequences.
That's exactly right.
And move on.
I am a witness. It doesn't kill you to say, I was terribly wrong and I am sorry. Stunning. I don't know why we find that so hard to do, because it absolutely ends up being better because we did it.
It does. There's, well, the freedom that comes from it. And back to the one of the verses I had read that said that those whose records the Lord has cleared of guilt, those lives are lived in complete honesty. There's a word for that. It's called congruent or congruency. And when you live in congruency, you're the same inside as you are outside.
Yes.
So if you're speaking about God's love and you're serving him, or just living your life, if your insides are clear and free and you've confessed to God, you're going to feel so much better. You're going to feel settled because you're living how God wants you to be.
Exactly.
And you're living what you're saying too, especially if I'm sitting here talking about God's love and forgiveness and reading his word. I need to make sure that I am free and clear inside.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And one of the best gifts we can give other humans who are also imperfect and drive cars into other cars and do awful things. The best gift we can give them is to show our humanity.
Absolutely.
We're not the big deal.
No, we're really not.
God is the big deal. So when we come into the light and say, I am a mess, but God makes me good.
Yes.
Then we're giving him the glory and honor. Stepping into the light just says, I know, look at me. And yet God's using me. Stunning, right?
Yep.
I think that is so the best way to live. Sometimes we put on this veneer, like, I need to look a certain way so that people will know that God lives in me.
Mm.
I think it's better to say, I fail all the time.
Yes.
And when I succeed, it's because I've yielded to him.
Absolutely.
I'm only good with him.
Yep.
Right?
Yep. I think yesterday I read a verse about how God's light is placed inside of us, but it only shines through because we're these fragile jars with cracks in them. We have to remember, God's light doesn't shine through unless we do have our weaknesses and flaws. And thankfully, we have so many that he can shine through. A very cracked little pot.
Yes. Yeah. I love it. I really do. So, okay. Well, we've got some questions to answer, as always. Question number one. What did we learn about asking for forgiveness from this passage, and how do we apply it to our daily lives? Yeah, I'll let you go first. I have some answers, but I bet you do too.
So I was thinking, like, if I'm feeling down and exhausted, I should try asking for forgiveness. It's from our our passages, he mentions how it affects our bodies too, our physical bodies.
Oh, that's interesting.
And our soul. So maybe if I'm feeling kind of like blah, and I don't have a cold and nothing's really bad going on, I should try sitting with God and confessing, hey, is there something in my heart that's keeping me from that joy that I experience when I walk with you daily? So I thought that might be good. The other thing that I learned from this passage was do it quick. And it's such a beautiful gift he gives us at no cost to us.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't cost me anything but getting rid of my yucky guilt and sin. So, and then after that, just rest in the victory over sin that God alone provided, again, at no cost to me.
Exactly. You know, one of the reasons I think we don't do it quickly, and that was on my list too, quick.
Yeah.
Is because it feels too simple. If I've done, you know, if I've done something really bad, I almost feel I have to self-punish for a bit. And just waltzing into God's presence and saying, I'm sorry.
Feels like we're getting off the hook too easy.
Right.
Yeah.
So, and yet, if it's a genuine sorrow, it is that. It's easy in the sense that that's what it
Those
takes.
Those are the steps.
It was not easy because Jesus took the wrath I deserved for that awful thing I did on himself. So in that sense, it was extremely hard, but it was hard on him.
Right.
And so I think we fail him when we won't confess and be forgiven because he's already taken it.
Right.
And we're like, no, no, I know you took that sin, but I also need to punish myself.
Right.
And hang on until I feel sad enough about, you know, I'm mad enough at myself. I sit in self-condemnation for a while. So I also pay for it. And I mean, come on, Jesus, like I paid for this.
It's
and furthermore, when you sit in condemnation, when you sit letting the accuser attack you, you're not serving me well.
Right.
Right. So Satan likes to keep us in that place of condemnation because it keeps us from serving God well.
Right.
We're
not as effective.
We're, in fact, we feel so inadequate that sometimes we even stop the good things we're doing. So it's so counterintuitive. We are so used to feeling like there needs to be punishment that we don't fully grasp. Yes, there does. And it has been fully punished.
Yes.
You know?
So we don't need to sit in that.
We don't need to sit in it. You know, it's kind of like, and I give this example a lot when I talk, you know, let's pretend that one of my kids doesn't have enough money for a good car. And and they're a single parent and they're trying to get to work on this awful car. So Ray and I both take on second jobs because we're going to buy them the best car ever. And we work 2 years and we get them a reliable, I mean, it's, you know, not a Mustang, but it's a reliable, nice car that's going to get them to and from work. And the day comes and we have the car. We are so excited. I mean, we worked hard for this. We
sweat
for this.
Thinking about this for 2 years.
And we show them the car and we give them the key and they say, I couldn't possibly take that. I need to earn my own car. And we'd be like, are you kidding us? We have a car. We did this for you, and now you won't even take it?
Wow.
I feel like that's how Jesus feels sometimes.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? You're letting Satan beat you up when I took it? Would you just come to me and let me wash you clean so you can point to what I did for you, so you can live in freedom, so you can go about God's business again?
Oh.
Right?
That's a great
illustration. Yeah. So, so, it's not simple in that Jesus took it.
Right.
But it's simple in that we just need to go to him.
Yes.
Yeah. That was a very long explanation. Perhaps we should go on to the second question. But it's important.
It is,
so,
though.
Okay. What was my favorite verse and why? And I shall go first on this one. Verse 2 was mine. Yes, what joy for those whose record the Lord has cleared of guilt, whose lives are lived in complete honesty. My word for the year is actually light.
Oh, I like it.
I'm so excited about this word because I'm going to do on my Selah days a study of all the places in the Bible where God talks about light.
Oh, fun.
Does that sound fun?
I like that idea.
Yeah, except if God tells me on a Selah day not to, because sometimes he does. He says, you've studied hard enough, your mind needs to be blank for a bit. So you know, but otherwise I am because I'm very excited about it. So, but my prayer is that I will step into the light this year, both in letting God examine my heart and show me where I'm failing.
Yeah.
And also step into the light with other people. And I caught myself the other day. I can't remember what it was, but it was something I did. Oh, I do know. I know exactly what it was. I'll tell you what it was.
All right.
All right. We were trying to get a grant for our ministry.
Yes.
And I was trying to act very professional, of course.
Oh, yes.
And I'm writing with this board member that I had to meet with to do the grant. And I work out the date perfectly, I think. And I say, you know, I've cleared all the calendars and this day would be terrific at 10:30 in the morning.
Mm.
Nicole. Then I looked at my planner again. I was supposed to be in Portsmouth at 10:30 in the morning and welcoming people to my house, including a guest at 11 a.m.
Oh, no. That's not a lot of margin. You can do that.
No. So in my mind, I'm drafting how to not tell him it was my fault. Not lying, but not telling him
oh,
it
it's so
was
true. Don't
my
we do that?
Fault.
They're like, how do I work
yes.
this?
So I had it all worked out. Foolish. Something has come up.
Yeah.
That is an absolute lie, actually, because it had already come up. So I wrote the truth because
oh,
of my
you.
Word, the light. And I said, I can't believe it. I went back and looked at the calendar I told you was free.
Right.
And it wasn't. Wouldn't you like to give our ministry money now that you know how I operate?
I promise I'm more organized.
Oh, my goodness. Do you know how it felt afterwards? Free.
Oh, that's good.
I was
good.
Living in complete honesty.
Right, right.
And aww. I had to be expose my idiocy.
And maybe he chuckled because he has probably done it at least once in his life because he's
sure
human
he
too.
We met with him a week later. It ended up being a better meeting time for one of our board members, one of our team members. And it was beautiful.
Oh, that's great.
So there you
See,
go.
It
There's
works.
A real life example. What was your favorite verse?
I liked the second half of verse 4. Finally, I confess all my sins to you and stop trying to hide my guilt. I said to myself, I will confess my rebellion to the Lord, and you forgave me all my sin. All my guilt is gone. So I just love that because it's such a relief after reading about how horrible the effects of sin are unconfessed. And then when I finally come to him, I'm just so struck that there's no anger. There's no punishment because he's already paid the punishment for sin.
It's
there's
beautiful.
No revenge. He's no. like, well, you did this. So there's nothing. There's just this beautiful forgiveness. There's only forgiveness.
Yeah.
And I just, yeah. I love that verse.
Super. And then real quick, because my goodness, this has flown by. What did we learn from God, about God from this passage? What did you learn about God?
He is quick to forgive.
Yes.
He is gentle and loving when we come to him for forgiveness.
Yes. Yes.
And he continually gives more. We just come to him for forgiveness and then he gives us this hiding place and protects us from trouble.
Yeah.
Then sings songs of victory over us. Like, wow, I just wanted forgiveness and I get all this other stuff too. So
including songs of victory because we did the right thing.
Right.
Oh,
so
my
beautiful.
Goodness. Yes.
What about
yeah.
you?
And I wrote, he's eager to cleanse and forgive. That was one of mine too. He wants us close.
Ooh.
Even when we've been bad, he still wants us to come to him.
Isn't
he always
amazing?
Wants us close.
Yeah.
And his ways are best. I don't want to be the horse being tugged out of the barn. So, well, this was fun.
All right.
Well, let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for sending your son, God in flesh, who literally took the punishment we deserve. Thank you for your forgiveness given so freely, so kindly. Thank you for being our hiding place. Even when we've sinned, we can run to you in confession. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for joining us today as we explored asking for forgiveness. How about you? Have you learned the blessing of running quickly to God and others, asking forgiveness and not carrying around the weight of guilt? We hope this episode has encouraged you to ask forgiveness more freely. We love hearing from our listeners. You can write us anytime by going to sweetsela.org/podcast. You can donate, and we do love and need donations, at sweetsela.org/donations. Join our podcast partners by donating and getting our weekly newsletter. We hope you'll be back next time for episode 145, Trying to Be Good. Thanks so much for listening, and have a wonderful day.
We are so glad you stopped for a while with us. The Sweet Selah Moments podcast is a cooperative production of Word Radio and Sweet Selah Ministries. More information about this podcast can be found at sweetselah.org. Thank you for joining us.